The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 74 of Wealth Talk. My name's Christian Rodwell, the membership director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again.
How are you feeling today, Kevin?
I'm feeling just tickety-boo. In fact, delighted that some of our students, Chris, are getting bestsellers out there. I mean, crumbs, who'd believe that?
Well, we had Louise Wrighton, one of our founder members, on the show last week. And yes, Louise talked about her new book, SaaS Superstars, which came out last Friday. And it's been topping the charts all over Amazon. So congratulations to Louise and to Mark Stokes, of course, for that.
Well, this is all about return on IP, isn't it? Where you get those fabulous ROIs. So this is a return on intellectual property, which is probably quite timely for them. But there's another interesting one, Chris, I think is really critical, especially right now with those people who perhaps have recognized that banks and institutions are lending less frequently or with more rigor in underwriting. There's a bit of a pressure, I think, for those people who perhaps like property or even business, where they're looking for investors, Chris.
Absolutely. And that will be our focus today, which is really how to become investable. And there's certainly a process, one that you know very well, Kevin, because you've worked with many, many people on this raising finance and funding, haven't you?
Yeah, raising finance and getting funding is just a logical and sequential step-by-step process, really. It's like a good wealth building principle. Once you learn the principles, and then you master the principles, and then you put the principles into action, then the natural consequence that is that you get a flow of funds into your business, whether that's a trading business or a property business. And do you want me to cover off some of those principles, Chris?
Yeah, I think it'd be really good to go through that today because, as you said, it really is a step-by-step process. It's not something you can, you know, jump forward. You really do need to make sure you've got all the pieces in place in the right order. So where would someone begin? Someone who's never raised any funds before, Kevin, what's one of the kind of foundational elements they really need to have in place at the beginning?
Well, that's a great point, Chris. So in the same way as, you know, we've created very elegantly, haven't we, in the wealth program, we've got a sort of a foundational element and then an educational element and then an execution element. Mm-hmm. It's the same here. And the mindset element, as you refer to quite well there, is a foundational element. I think there are two aspects to this, Chris, that are quite fundamental and more often than not, they're overlooked. And they're overlooked because when people need money, for whatever purpose they need money, they kind of get really focused on what they want. And they lose, a bit of clarity of vision on two key points. The first one is to begin with the end in mind. In other words, if you know what it is you're trying to achieve, whether it's a certain number of properties, certain number of rooms, certain number of apartments, a certain number of members, you know, whatever it is you want, once you've established what it is that you need, then you can work out what I call a funding strategy. And Chris, do you want to know how many people who I've ever met? Let's use property as an example because it's so easy to do with property. It's so simplistic. How many property people I've ever met have ever shown me or shared with me their funding strategy, Chris? Out of 100, how many? Have a guess. Go on.
Oh, let's say 5%.
None.
Oh, dear.
The answer is zero, okay? Because they don't begin with the end in mind. They begin with the next project in mind. So let's take an example, right? Let's give a real simplistic example. Say you have an objective, which is £10,000 a month, okay, which is the average in the UK. So multiply that if you're listening from another country. But that's the average most people say they need to get to financial independence, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if we said then in simplistic terms that the number of properties that you needed to acquire in order to get that was 10, and that the amount of money that you were going to get from each property was £1,000 a month, then 10 properties yielding £1,000 a month would give you that objective, mm-hmm. getting those words mixed up. You see the point? So you already know then, in order to get it, you need 10. So all you then need to do is work out, well, what is the amount of money that I need in order to be able to secure those 10 properties? So in, again, in simple terms, if that was £100,000, you needed as a deposit, say, and I'm being very simplistic, Chris, for illustration, what would be the funding strategy? It would be £1 million, right? 10 times 100 would get me that number. And if I was taking a leisurely approach to this, and I was willing to get one property in 10 years, so, you know, one property each year for 10 years, then I'd only need £100,000 a year. So the answer to the question about the strategy then, in terms of if I need other people's money because I've run out of money myself for those deposits, would be I'd need £1 million. But in truth, if I built great relationships with one or two people, I might only need one or two or three investors. Do you see what I mean? Mm. So that the essence of this is, once you know what you're trying to achieve and you know the time frame in which you're trying to achieve it, these are principles, then it will tell you what you need to do in your strategy. And what I find, Chris, is the opposite of that. I find that property, let's use the word developer, somebody wants to raise money to carry on. And most people run out of money before they run out of ambition. That's just the way it is. Property, real estate, is a more expensive commodity, isn't it? It's a more expensive asset. And most people get leverage on that in order to acquire it. So, but the point that I'm making, Chris, is, when you're focused just on you, when you're focused on the next property, and that's all you do, you miss out principle number two. So if principle number one is begin with the end in mind, and do you remember whose principle that was, Chris?
Well, Michael Gerber talks about that in the E-Myth.
Well, he did, but he took the principle from Dr. Stephen Covey, which is a fundamental principle of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is a seminal book that I would encourage any wealth builder or budding wealth builder to tap into. Unfortunately, no longer with us, I'm afraid, but a great book. And the second principle he teaches, I'm not sure it's in the right order, Chris, but a principle he teaches is seek first to understand before being understood. Well, what do you mean, Kevin? What do you mean by that? What I mean is, if you want to be investable, you need investors. And if you need investors, you need to first understand what investors need. And what I usually find, Chris, is the opposite of that. I usually find played out in all sorts of networking meetings all across the country, probably all across the world, you know, two people having a conversation. And one person is really just talking about me, 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 me. And that's usually the developer. And the investor's kind of thinking, ooh, I'm being talked at. This person is just focused on themselves. And consequently, there's really not a lot of exchange going on. There's a lot of heat and light, but not a lot of traction. Do you want me to give an example of that, Chris?
Yes, please do. Yeah, I was just smiling to myself because I remember when we met many years ago, I remember a slide you used to show in your presentations of this very point. So yeah, please do give us the example.
Well, yeah, let me describe the slide, Chris. So if you imagine we've got, you know, everybody knows the slide of the talking heads, you know, two people just in silhouette looking at each other. And in the slide, I think, Chris, I think I used 90 miles an hour and 30 miles an hour. Is that right?
Something like that.
And I say, discussing a joint venture or an investment, who's who? And somebody's speaking at 90 miles an hour and somebody's listening at 30 miles an hour. And kind of 90 miles an hour, let's say at a networking meeting, let's say, you know, in the days when you could have networking meetings, it might go something like this. Oh, I found this brilliant opportunity. It's absolutely marvelous. I think I've never seen an opportunity like this. It's once in a decade opportunity. And what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to convert this into an HMO, but I'm not sure about Article 4 in that area. But maybe my ROCE will be affected by the current COVID crisis. So maybe I'll think about that. But what about if I turn it into service accommodation? Because then I could probably get more people, including key workers. And the ROI on that one is going to be absolutely massive because I'm going to refinance and not need any of my money in. So it'll be infinite. So the return for you will be infinite for me. So I can give you a great return. By the money, by the way, I need the money next Tuesday.
Yeah, I think many people listening probably can relate to that one. Yeah.
Now, I know that's a whole bunch of language and, you know, a lot of that might not be understood by people who want it properly, but you get the point, though.
Yeah.
You know, the point for education and information and a little bit of entertainment, as we say, is that the person who's thinking about themselves is not seeking first to understand. They're seeking first to be understood. So they can't wait to tell you what they're doing. Now, the person who's listening, who's not really saying anything at all, actually, is just listening and taking it in at 30 miles an hour. And you remember, Chris, when you learned to drive, you know, in the days of the old gears and stuff, and you got the gears wrong, you could hear the grinding, couldn't you? You could hear that, you know, and, and I remember that teaching my kids, you know, you try and sort them out. They're all in the box there, but they're getting all a bit meshed up. And it's obvious the gears are grating. But when two people talk, it's not as obvious. What happens is the other person is silently just going backwards and in reverse, and they're not telling the developer. And the result is, you know, nothing happens really. And this is what I see played out. And both parties in reality, Chris, have got a lot to gain, you know. If this was thought through much more carefully, much more meaningfully with the purpose of who, you know, where the gain truly was, they can conjure up magic. You know, they can conjure up value where no value existed before. As you think about it, the person who's got the development, who doesn't get the development, doesn't carry on their journey. And the person who's got money, who wants to invest it, doesn't get the money invested, and consequently doesn't get a return. So they're missing out, and they're both fearing a loss. The developer in our story is fearing the loss of that opportunity, and the investor is feeling a loss of money. And this is the key thing. So the primary thing to understand, Chris, and we started off our podcast today, and I know I often go a bit rambly, so you forgive me for this, talking about ROIs. And, you know, we talked about the return on intellect for Louise and Bronwyn even, and others in our community who are writing books, which I'm so thrilled about. But this is another one, which is, you know, when you're trying to work with investors, it's really important to understand that what investors want to hear is you understand them. And we do that, Chris, by going to the next stage, which is education, which is then teaching the principle of how to speak the language of investors. And how you do that is you tell them a story, or you present what you do in a story in a way that recognizes and appreciates that the first ROI that is critical to an investor is the return of their investment. Mm. Let me say that again, Chris, the return of their investment. Their number one fear is loss. So your number one job as someone who's looking to raise money is share and show in your story of your business how you keep yourself safe. That shows me how, therefore, you're keeping me as an investor safe. And that's your primary role. And that's just ROI number one that an investor is looking for. In truth, they're looking for five ROIs, Chris. It might be useful if I cover off a few more of these now. I'm in a flow, but ROI number one, the return of, and that's the key, is so that when you tell the story of your business, more people than not tell that story from the perspective of them being the hero in the story, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yes.
Know, they say, it's all about me. I've been doing this for 10 years and this is where I do it. This is how I do it. And this is, you know, back to that speed again. It's all about me, me, me. And while I understand that, and that's normal, I encourage people to flip that switch and look at it and turn the telescope around and look at it from the investor and say, you know, we look after the needs of investors. We are property developers and we understand how we do this property. It's the same in business, by the way. So apply the same principles here. And what we do is we provide or we share some of the great returns we get in property with investors because we truly understand your dilemma right now. We know that if you've got your money in cash, you're getting a teeny tiny return. We know that if you're leaving your money in the stock market, you're so out of control and you've seen the volatility that the stock market just brings to you and you have no way of being able to control that. And you get the point? So you're beginning to see then that the developer is the guide to help the investor get a number of returns on their money that makes the investor feel that this is an irresistible story. And this is the essence of fundraising. It's telling the story from the perspective of the receiver, not the perspective of the giver. Get the point?
I do. And for anyone who perhaps wants some guidance on the storytelling process, there's a really good book that we often recommend to people, isn't there, Kevin, which probably worth us mentioning now as well.
Sure. I think it's called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller.
Yeah.
If I've got the exact title of the book right. But the essence is exactly that. I mean, it doesn't go into the details and the applications, let's say, I might do now on property, but it's the principle is exactly that. It's almost telling the story of your business with you being the guide to your customer, you know? And it's a great book. And rather than steal the thunder of the book, Chris, there's some terrific points in there. And the positioning, I think we've learned, which has influenced how we do business, isn't it really, is we see ourselves as the guide for our students and the hero in the story is our wealth builder students with the objective of becoming completely financially independent. And so we don't talk about me, we don't talk about you, we don't talk about anything else but shine the spotlight on our students. And that's the way a good business should work. It should be focused completely. Yes, you need credibility, Chris. You know, there needs to be some element of the story that says I'm qualified as a guide. Otherwise, you know, you don't have the authenticity or the authority in order to give the guidance. So let me not dwell on that too much, but just to say that, you know, I've helped hundreds of developers raise hundreds of millions by thinking this through from a different angle. Shall I dive into a couple more of the points, Chris, and in that sort of educational bit? If we've got the mindset right, begin with the end in mind. And obviously, you know, seek first to understand. The next are just ROI. So ROI number one, an investor is always interested in, is the return of their investment. The second they're interested in, Chris, is a return on intellect. Now, we know this is true because when you have your money in cash or you have your money in the stock market, how much smarter are you the following day or the following month or the following year?
Not a great deal.
Well, none. none. You're not smarter by just investing. You're just on the receiving end of what you get. So your intellect hasn't expanded. Your knowledge hasn't expanded. Your wisdom hasn't expanded. And these are all important things in wealth building principles. You need to build wisdom. So the more you can share knowledge, even if it's just, this is how I do it. This is how we do it here at Wheelin' and Dealin', you know? This is how we do things, and this is why we do it for you, because we're going to share and show you what we do so you truly understand the nature of what your money's doing. I mean, that's just good sense, isn't it? The next ROI, Chris, is a return on interaction. And what that means is now we're forming relationships. You know, again, let's take the point. Does anybody have a relationship with their bank anymore?
No.
Does anybody have a relationship with the stock market? No. They might have a stockbroker and they might have an IFA, but you know, they're transactional relationships, not meaningful relationships. So that return on interaction kind of says, you know, we now have a relationship with you as an investor and us as a developer, or you as an investor and us as a business. And we see that our roles are inextricably linked. We're part of the same outcome. And we want to involve you in that process so that you feel like you're participating at some level. I don't mean at a deep level, like you're going to choose the color of the wallpaper, but you know, you're at least, you know, proud that you feel like you're being taken seriously and that you're asking and answering questions in the ROI of return on intellect. But equally, you're just beginning to feel, I'm part of this company in some way. You know, you feel like that connection. And that connection, by the way, is enhanced with the next ROI, Chris, which is in sequence now, number 4, isn't it? And I'll summarize at the end because I know I've gone in and out of the ROIs. But ROI number 4 is return on impact. Now, what I mean by impact, Chris, is in all businesses and all property, there's an opportunity to make an even bigger impact than just doing the work of the business or the property. And that's doing good business and business for good. So that might be you're looking after certain types of tenant, you know, protected tenants or homeless or something, or you're doing something that's fundamentally good for society, like it might be, you know, creating buildings with sustainability in mind. It might be using modern methods of construction so that your buildings are built in a factory so it saves time and reduces the impact. It might be you're looking after, one of our students provides accommodation for veterans, doesn't she, Chris?
Yeah.
And things like that. So the more that you can create, again, as part of the story, and a genuine thing, not something that you just make up, but because you feel it, and then you translate that and say, this is what we stand for in this organization, then you can make an impact. And when you make an impact and you combine that with relationship, and you combine that with knowledge and you combine that with security, you've got it made. You know, you are completely irresistible. One final ROI, Chris, to complete the circle, which is then you need to offer a return. And that return, very interesting this, Chris, this is a fundamental psychological issue that is probably the hardest one for developers and business owners to get their head around. Because more often than not, whenever they've needed money, they've gone out to look for it and somebody else is underwriting them, right? So, you know, you go to a bank and ask for a loan, you fill in some forms, right? And they tell you what return or what interest rate they're going to offer you. You're a property developer, you submit a report and a valuation and they'll tell you what kind of interest rate they'll charge you. When you're making an offer to investors, you're no longer the on the receiving end of underwriting. If you think about it, Chris, you become the underwriter. In other words, you are saying that you have got an offer and you want to check that the people that you're speaking to qualify for that offer. You see what I'm saying? Mm. You're offering terms. Instead of asking for terms, you're offering terms. So you might say, you know, in order to work with us, we need to know more about you to make sure there's a right fit. Now, that doesn't sound like I need the money next Tuesday, does it? It implies there's a term. It implies there's a relationship to build. It implies a level of sharing and knowledge for you to truly understand whether we're going to be a right fit, not just for today, Chris, but for the long term. Because when you get this right, now let's summarize. The first ROI was the safety, the return of their investment. Okay.
Yep.
The second was the return on intellect. You're sharing knowledge. You're making the investor feel knowledgeable about what that money's doing in a way perhaps you didn't think before. Maybe you assumed they knew what they're doing. Number three, you've got an interaction. You're building a relationship. I mean, some of our examples, Chris, for example, you know, I'll use, say, Mark Stokes, who I know very well. He's got a business with his friend Nigel, and they often have investor meetings where they have site visits. So, you know, 30, 40 people will turn up, you know, wearing a hard hat, high-vis jacket, and the protective PPE. Now, what that means is we're now kids again, aren't we? We're turning up. We're dressing up and we're going to see something that we'd never, ever see in the stock market or in cash. Mm-hmm. And that is just brilliant because it brings people into the process. And they'll do that in certain stages. So they'll do it at the beginning, they'll do it in the middle, they'll do it at the end. Mm-hmm. And when you build relationships in that kind of way, you know, you can see that people actually feel proud to be connected. So that's return on interaction. And then we've got return on impact. What societal impact is what your business is doing? And then you've made an offer of a return, which is a financial return of X percent. And usually if you provide all those benefits that I've mentioned, not difficult, when you stop and work it through, if I'm now putting you in the mind of the developer, right? And if all I want to do is go out to people and say, hey, I want some money, and I do go the old-fashioned way, right? I might slow it down a bit, but I get some investors and I have to offer them a rate of return. Just the only thing I'm going to offer you is money. So I'm going to offer you, Chris, if you invest with me, the rate that I'm going to offer you, which is my cost, but your return, do you think that would be higher, the cost of it, or lower than if I educate you, I show you how risk-free this is, or risk-managed it is, not risk-free, risk-managed it is.
Yeah.
I show you what I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you how you're interacting with us, and I'm going to make you feel special. And therefore, I'm going to show you exactly what it is that relationship will look like. And you'll probably be thinking, you know, now you found me, you want to stick with me and be here with me for years and years and years and years. So if I'm now you, are you receiving a higher rate as the, you know, are you offering a higher rate as the developer, or a lower rate, do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the added value, a lower rate.
A much lower rate. So when you learn these things, you developers out there, you property people out there, and you business owners out there, when you do this well, it's self-serving as well. The financial return that you need to pay to secure the funds is always lower when you do this well. And that's what we teach, right? So you know, wealth building is not just taught in the principles of the assets, but it's how to acquire and build relationships with others so that you carry on your journey, Chris. And the final point about this, so we've done all the five ROIs that the investor wants, but there's one other thing. So I'm laboring it, I know, Chris, but you get the return of the investor. What I mean is the investor comes back. So if you do a cycle and you do all this elegant work that I've just described to you, now, yes, it takes a bit of preparation, but no more than a few months. So the logical conclusion, you know, when I ask that question is you want to invest again, don't you? You want to continue getting all of those returns rather than face the prospect of going back and putting money that you've allocated for investment. So we're talking about, you know, people who've got money genuinely to invest and they've done all of their careful thinking about how much they want to invest and what they want to invest for and so on and so forth. But the point about all of that is people just repeat and repeat and repeat. So that means if you can repeat that, you only need a handful of people to build relationships with. You know, you don't need to go a blunderbuss approach and go to networking events, you know, speed dating to get money. I need the money next Tuesday, I need the money next Tuesday, I need the money next Tuesday. You can just say, you know, we're really good at what we do. Here's a document that tells the story. And most people don't want to go to the process of creating a document because most developers and business owners, you know, talk about their business, and that's understandable, but you need to create documents. And Chris, we've created a whole bunch of documents, templates, that if people want to get a copy of the template just to stimulate some thoughts, we can make them available.
Yeah, well, in fact, they are available and they have been for some time inside of the free membership area. So very easy just to head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership, put your name and email in, and then you'll get access immediately to our members area. And we've got not only the template that we've been talking about today, which you can look through, and there's an example as well from one of our clients to see what the finished product really looks like. So you can actually build out your own. So yeah, that's easily available for anyone listening.
Yeah. Okay, good. So hopefully that was a trot round a few of the ROIs, Chris, from memory, and maybe it will stimulate people to think about, you know, changing the way they approach investors, you know, from that beginning with the end in mind, you know, creating that story, building the five ROIs that all investors are looking for, maybe, but they just didn't say it out loud. But once you understand it, then you craft a document that tells the story. And there are a few compliance issues that you need to take care of. So, you know, we can't cover everything today, but in general terms, this is a good set of principles to learn. And then we can help you execute those principles in that kind of third step. First step always being get the mindset and the education right, the foundation right. Second step, get the education right. And third is execute.
Yeah, so. And there is one question I just want to ask, Kevin. For someone listening now, and our listeners will be at all different stages, of course, of being investable. But at what point should someone start thinking about this, Kevin? Like, literally,
that's a great question, Chris.
If they haven't even begun investing, they want to start their journey, or they've maybe got one or two properties. Is that the right time to think about it, or do they need to be much further down the line?
Well, what a great question, Chris. And the answer is, when is the best time to plant a tree?
10 years ago or today.
Today. Right. So when is the best time to start crafting your story? Well, it's today. It's today. So what you do, if it's your first property, take great photographs. You know, do that. Just begin to start thinking about what you might say, you know, with investors. Begin to start telling people what you do. You know, show people what you do. One of the things that we encourage, for example, Chris, is when you get to a point where you've done, I say when you've done three, you've pretty much nailed it, right? So you've done three of anything, you've got a good track record. And then you create a document. It's always a document. It's best to create a document, whether it's a PowerPoint or something on paper or something on the website. And that's really important, because if you think about the investor and go back to my story, the sort of that story I told of the investor and the developer having a conversation, and the talking heads, that's two people. But, you know, if you're the investor and you've got a spouse or a partner or a significant other, you know, and you just come straight from a networking event, you say, I met this guy, I thought he was brilliant, you know, he's really enthusiastic and he needs $100,000 by next Tuesday. You haven't got anything to back it up for a spouse or somebody else in your life. So the document is really critical, that you've got something that, you know, people can take away and they can share and show to people they care about. And so the point is start to create it now. And then when you get it to a place where you've got enough, you've done three, I'd say start showing that document to people who already know, like, and trust you, and say, look, I really value your opinion here. I've created this document that tells the story of what I'm trying to do, of what we're doing. Could you give me some feedback on that? And guess what might happen, Chris?
Yeah, they might do that.
They'll give you feedback, but B, they might go, wow, I didn't know you did all this. I didn't know you'd done all that. You know, they wouldn't have known how carefully and seriously you've crafted your argument that keeps the investor safe. And who knows, they might invest themselves, or certainly, if nothing else, will give you great feedback. So, and it's a test. Everything is about testing these things. So little by little, by putting these things into play and starting today, not waiting till you've done three, you know, because take your photographs, your befores, your afters, make sure you've got good professional photographs. Think about the name of your business, you know, think about, or just go and read the story now, go and get the book on Audible or on Amazon, get a copy of Building a Story Brand, or just download the free things that we're sending. You know, take time and do it now.
Yeah. Good. Thanks for clarifying that one, Kevin. And hopefully everyone who's listened today has picked up some useful ideas, and certainly the five investor ROIs there, really, really helpful. Thank you for that, Kevin.
No problem at all. And actually, I've got a visual of that, Chris. What we could put in the show notes, like just a visual representation of the five ROIs we could do. Yep. And then at least, you know, again, something else downloadable to serve as a memory aid, if nothing else.
Yeah. And if you've enjoyed listening today, then please share, as we say, and leave us some feedback either on iTunes or any of the podcasting apps that you prefer to listen to. And if you want to network and meet other like-minded wealth builders, then our Facebook community is the place to do that. So that wraps up for today, Kevin. So until next time.
Okay, until next time, Chris. Thanks for setting up my line. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.